About Nothing. It's me, your boy, the hottest dude in the podcast game, Sebastian Canelli. And as always, per usual, we got the cute boy here himself, Robbie Boy. Robbie, say hello to the beautiful people.
What's going on, beautiful people?
I'm excited because we got one of my own. We got a big boy in the studio. And you know, Sebastian's happy. I'm getting that jolliness, you know?
Yeah.
Another big boy comes along, I'm getting jolly. This guy is hilarious. You got to go check out his stand-up. He opens for Nate Bargatze on the road. He's headlining clubs all over the nation. You got to check him out. Go to his YouTube to check out his stand-up special, Coronation. I watch it. I think it's hilarious, man. Oh, you are so funny. Go check out his Instagram, Justin Smith Comedy. Give it up for Justin Smith.
What's up, guys? How's it going? You guys good?
Yeah,
well, man. Good?
Yeah.
I'm so excited that you're here.
Oh, dude, me too,
so,
man.
I think you're so funny, and I was so excited to get you here.
Oh, thank you, man. Well, first of all, I love it because my girl, who's also Italian, is a very big fan of the show.
Ooh,
and she goes, hey, she goes, you're going to be in New York. She goes, I want you to do this one. She goes, I want you to do this pod. And so she was like a
fellow paisan.
Yeah,
absolutely. We love that.
She was like, but it was very funny because she's Italian.
Yeah.
And she goes, before I left, she goes, baby, I love you. Don't embarrass me in front of my people. And I was like, dude, I felt the weight of that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. Because I don't have that. I don't have that whole don't embarrass me.
Well, you can. In Italian culture, you're an embarrassment to the family.
Right.
Well, now we have a quiz for you about Italian food.
Perfect. No, food portion, I'm all in. I feel like I'm dialed in.
Well, that's all Italian culture is food.
Right.
It's food and being loud.
That's perfect.
Can you be loud?
I mean, I can do it. I you know what's funny? I thought I could be loud, and then I went to Thanksgiving at her family's house.
Oh.
And you're like, dude, they're like, I think at one point they would go, her family went to her, and they go, hey, is he sick? Like, is he all right?
Because
like,
you're quiet.
Yeah. But I'm like, I wasn't being quiet. I'm over there holding court with all the cousins. And I think I'm murdering right now.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, what's wrong with him? Why does he talk? He just sits over there. Like, I think I'm slaying it. Like, I love cigars, too.
Yeah.
And I brought cigars for everybody. Like, I'm like,
oh, you killed.
You did kill.
I thought so. Like, I'm thinking about wearing a wife beater under. Woo. But, like, I'm thinking about doing that. Like, all this stuff.
You don't got to tell me.
I knew what I'm telling you, man. I saw the lines.
You know it's real.
Well, can I ask a question about the, because again, I'm trying to be in the family. I want to connect.
Course. Yeah, yeah, please.
How do you keep the wife beater from like dipping down?
Below the boobs?
Like, dude, I'm telling you, like I tuck it into my shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And then by 3 o'clock, it's down here like a wrestling singlet. Like it's crazy.
You're looking like the Big Show.
I'm telling you.
And so I look like Tony Soprano.
I want to snap. It's like, it's all the way to, like, if it's any further, it's going to be my belly button.
You can't be, you got to get extra long.
Oh, I do.
You 100%. Do get long.
Yeah, but it keeps stretching.
Maybe you go a size up.
Okay. All right.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Wait, hold on. You tell me I should buy a smaller size?
No.
I mean, can you say that again slower so I can keep it in my phone?
I like it hugging my body.
Right.
I like it on my body. I started wearing it when I was in junior high when we had to start changing in the locker room.
Right.
So you have to do something about it. You know, I can't just have nipples out at the locker room.
Right. I feel like that's the best part is like I feel like big guys – sorry, buddy.
That's okay.
We're gonna hold court for a while. You just take it. I think you might need to take a nap for a while.
No, he could chime in with questions from the from the average folk. So, what is this word chafing?
But I feel like you get like your dad's fashion. Like you get it, like when you're younger. Like big guys get it. So you're like.
Hand-me-down clothes.
Oh, no, not even that, but just like you understand why your dad wore this or that.
Oh, my dad's a skinny man. That's the problem.
Well, I'm sorry.
Skinny, yeah.
Yeah, he's a thin man. But tell me, so your dad's a big guy.
Well, he's not, but I learn from like big guy. Well, he is, but I did not learn my fashion from him. He's like a good old boy.
Oh,
so
okay.
He's a guy that just has like the gut, but he just lets it hang over his pants.
Oh.
And...
Sorry, that's your father.
No, it's okay. It's all right. He would also, I think he would agree.
Yeah.
But I when I found suspenders for the first time, like I wear suspenders underneath all my stuff. So my pants don't fall down. Dude, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. Because I don't ever tuck my shirt in.
I'm always, unfortunately, I'm always cheeks are out.
Dude, you got to go suspenders.
This is amazing.
It's a game changer.
Cool look.
I got them on right now. You want to like
I believe you. I don't know. I was like, we don't want to demonetize.
I was so excited.
And yeah, close off.
You were like, hey, we need to, no.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, I need to charge suspenders because I sit down and go to stand up. My stand up move, it's not about getting up. It's about positioning my pants back up.
Yeah.
So it's not a full butt hanging. Belts do nothing.
Right. Because again, when you're a big guy, people don't understand this. You're one size sitting down, and then when you stand up, you're a different size.
Yep. You're literally two sizes smaller standing up.
Yeah.
It's actually remarkable. I want to lose weight. I just stand for a minute.
Yeah.
I go, ooh, this shirt's baggy.
That's why it's so funny is, and I don't think skinny people will ever understand that when I try a button-up shirt on, I have to try it on standing up, see how it looks, and then I have to sit down to see how it fits.
Because, you know, someone told me I was wearing a button-down one time, and some guy, I was standing up, it looked good, sat down. He goes, damn, those buttons could talk, they'd be screaming. I went, damn, because Italian people have good insults like
that. Oh, yeah.
They'll make you feel small in a second in a creative way.
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm always grateful that the table always comes to right here.
Why do you think?
It covers up those buttons.
We do table on purpose on this pot.
What, are you going to maybe sit in a chair where I got to... Oh, dude.
On a couch?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
All these podcasts are couches. That's not fat friendly. This is fat phobia, these podcasts.
Dude. Can I tell you, I was on one pod one time, and I tried to do that the Tonight Show thing.
Yeah.
I tried to cross my leg, and then I tried to, like, and then I just went back, and I'm like, dude, I hope nobody saw that. And then everybody saw it.
Of course. Have you ever crossed your leg in real life, or you were just like in the moment? You're like, this
I mean,
is
dude,
the
if
move.
I can get a hold of the bottom of the pant and pull it over,
it's a 3-step move.
I gotta get a whole crew involved with this.
Sweetie, I want to cross my leg. Can you give me a hand? That's amazing. But you're from, so you're, I like it. You're a big guy, but you're from a different world than me.
Right.
So you're like, I'm like a New York kid. You're like a, what would you say, Midwest, South,
well, so
Southern boy?
People get mad when you talk about Oklahoma because the Midwest doesn't claim Oklahoma.
Yeah.
The Southwest doesn't claim Oklahoma. The South definitely gets mad about it.
Yeah, I don't know what to call you.
So we're like our own thing.
Sure.
Okay.
But I would say that for me, Southern culture was kind of where I got brought into.
What is Southern culture?
It's just kind of like a... you're kind of like a, you don't follow anybody's rules type situation. Like, I know people brag about, like, Texas being its own thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, Oklahoma is that. Like, when all these states had their own, like, set up rules and regulations, like, Oklahoma was just lawless. Like, Oklahoma was
Well, that's where the musical probably comes from.
There wasn't as much show tunes going on
back
then. There was a lot more. I mean, like, Oklahoma City itself, because you know about the land run, right?
No.
I don't.
No. Oh, my gosh. Well, so.
Please educate us.
At one point in Oklahoma, they cleared out the whole state, and they divided it up into all these plots, like 6 or 10 or 20-acre plots.
Uh-huh.
And they divided them up, and they were like, if you want land, you line up on the border of the state. And at noon on this day, they fired off a bunch of cannons, and you just went and grabbed land.
The original Black Friday.
Yeah, 100%. I've never heard anybody refer to it like that, but that is exactly what it was like.
Just the trampling people. No, I want that plot.
We only have 300 TVs in here, so if y'all want it, y'all better get after it.
People hitting each other. I was here first. You never seen old ladies as savage on that day.
But dude, it's like, so that's where.
That's insane.
So Oklahoma City, went from a city that didn't exist one day. So there was no people. There was nothing. And Oklahoma City went from no people to a population of 100,000 in a day. In one day. Wow. So no infrastructure, no idea. Literally just people just showed up and they're like, we're going to... And that's... Our city's built like that. So our city went from being nothing to enormous.
So that probably hurt the city a little bit.
No, I mean, they figured it out.
They did?
There was a lot of murders, but they figured it out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It sounds like there would be like a lot of, I'm going to be this place's barber. No, I'm the barber, you know?
Well,
like,
there was a lot of like slum lord situations.
Yeah.
And they were dividing stuff up and people, But it's like that whole thing, like for the longest time, Oklahoma was like outlaw territory. So like natives would live there. And then all the outlaw, like the kind of like the bank robbers. Well, I mean, like you would go like old, the old West, they realized that nobody kind of had say in this place.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like they could just go in, like any, they'd go rob places in Texas or Kansas, and then they just hang out in Oklahoma because nobody really had jurisdiction in Oklahoma. And the same with the police. Like you, like Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde, everywhere they would rob, they would go through Oklahoma because all these marshals, they didn't have.
It was like a safety territory.
Yeah, they couldn't go. So they would cut through Oklahoma. So this Jesus. Like, so this whole thing of Oklahoma is kind of like this, like that's the culture that we're built on. And we kind of get lumped in with all these, like, because we have like Arkansas and Kansas and Texas. So, and there's kind of like not saying anything bad about those people because I know good people there.
We know good people, but let's speak ill of it.
But they're, yeah. You're like, let's like, destroy. You're like, listen, I don't want to say anything bad about Staten Island, but. But I think a lot of the problems of those states, the kind of like the. They bled into Oklahoma. Like, that's not Oklahoma culture. Like, people came to Oklahoma to kind of start, like, a new life. Like, that's kind of like a Black Wall Street. That succeeded because you have a group of people that were like, we want to build our own culture here.
Yeah.
And it was flourishing. And it was other states that came and, like, they go like, oh, are these people, this group of people happy and doing well? Well, we're going to come.
Let's literally destroy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, one of the worst massacres ever.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there was a few more.
Oh, of course.
There was a few more that were a little bit, you know.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I don't know history.
It's so funny to watch you be like, I don't know. All right. I don't like the corner we just turned down.
Okay, we're getting a little, we're on the edge of politics and people feel dying.
But that's why
you're from Oklahoma City.
Tell me about.
That's why I love Oklahoma, because that's the. That's all this craziness, because nobody knows. And I honestly, I didn't know. I didn't know. I took a class growing up. It was called like Oklahoma History, and they didn't teach us any of the fun stuff.
Really?
They were like, hey, do you know Frank Keating was the governor for this? And you're like, who is Frank? Who cares?
Yeah, what did they do?
Like,
yeah.
You're like, dude, do you see like the Wild Boys? Like, we literally had all these like crazy dudes living in our state. You're like, that's awesome. And they're like, oh, we also invented like the parking meter and the shopping cart. You're like, dude, why don't we talk about that? Dude, like this.
The shopping cart must have been a great invention.
I mean, I loved it.
Had to be a fat guy.
I met the woman. I used to do comedy in the woman's, her family invented the shopping cart. Oh, wow. They had a restaurant and they would do comedy.
Wow.
Yeah.
They invented the shopping cart.
So she's got shopping cart money.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Is that good money?
Well, you couldn't tell because she definitely didn't know how to spend it. That's for sure. If I had shopping cart money, my gosh, this it would have been a different life.
Totally. Oh God, I
would have gold teeth. Like I do now. I would just.
You would go straight all trash, all wild.
Oh, dude, for sure. Like you're like, why go to the dentist? I can just go to the jeweler instead. Like I think it's like, why would I go get my teeth scraped when I can just go put gold on my like? You're like, it would be the best.
Gold is never dirty,
right?
100%. And if it is, you go. It looks nice and shiny. I went to Oklahoma. I had a good time. I thought the food was okay, but I didn't have like good like. What's the food there that you're rocking? Well, I was in Tulsa,
so. There. Believe it or not, there's a pizza place there that is incredible.
I can't with this shit.
I know. I know. With this I understand. Shit,
man. Like, well, this is what your girlfriend was worried about.
Can I
you
tell you?
You came here and you did what your girl was worried about.
Can I tell you something?
He showed up, nothing in hand, didn't have a single item. Look at him. He shot me a look like, how dare you bring this up?
No. You're right.
I'm kidding. He didn't have to.
And here's why I bring it up. Because every person from New York that comes to Oklahoma, they're the exact same way.
Yeah.
You know who was the biggest convert that I ever had? It was Paul Verzi.
Oh, really?
Paul Verzi came.
He's a real dude.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And he was like, he has the thing. First of all, Paul's like, hey, man, do you know where I come from? He goes, do you know what I am? You're going to try to serve me Oklahoma pizza? He goes, boy, you better come correct. Like, he's
New York people are actually insane, though.
Oh.
Because for him to go, you know where I come from? Where? From a hospital? From a hospital in a different location?
But I took Verzi to this place, and it's a different type, but it's like a New York slice. It's a slice house.
Yeah.
And they it's called Empire Pizza. And I'm telling you, they do it right. And it's like they do like kind of like creative. They don't have New York type slices.
Uh-huh.
They use different types of ingredients.
See, now we're going down a bad road.
But it's like, but I'm telling you, even Verzi was like,
what's the different ingredients?
Like they use
Alfredo sauce? I can't with that shit.
No. They do they use different types of mushrooms. It's kind of like they make like a dish.
I like mushrooms.
We can pull up the menu after. But I'd like I like you're put on a spot and go, oh, dude, I can't name one ingredient that they put on there. But I know that it's like it's not the slice, like you don't get like the broccoli chicken slice here, the chicken carbonara. They don't have any of the slices that you get here, they don't have them there.
Oh, okay.
But they're creative. And they always have a pepperoni and a cheese.
That's great. That's my standard.
Right.
See, I'm a snob. So if I probably went there and they were probably like, we have a good pizza spot, I go, I don't want pizza. Because my rule is I leave New York, I don't want to eat pizza.
Right.
I could eat the best here. I'd rather like have, I don't know, barbecue or whatever.
Yeah, well, barbecue's fantastic in Oklahoma.
Is it?
I worked at a barbecue restaurant for years.
Cook?
Everything. I did everything. I served. I did the pit. They never trusted me to run the pit all the way.
Why?
Because it's a thing.
Oh, because it's like you.
It's a process. Like it's a multiple day process.
Wow.
Smoking brisket in Oklahoma. So it's like they put the meat on. They leave it on for 2 days. Like it smokes for 2 to 3 days, and then once it's smoked all the way, then they kind of then they cool it.
Uh huh.
And then the next day after the 2 to 3 day smoke. Then they put it in the main smoker, and then they bring it into the restaurant. And so that's how they cut it.
Wow.
But it's a...
That's incredible.
You have to have a guy that wakes up. They call him a lot of places they call him the pit master.
There's a Netflix show.
Yeah.
I tried to watch it. I said, this isn't my culture.
No. It's a... You're like... Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
But when you taste their barbecue, like, it's great. But my buddy. Sure.
It's like people that are very into whiskey and like doing that. It's like they age it for a while. They really perfect it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a culture I don't understand, but I enjoy the product.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
My buddy, it's crazy that one of my childhood friends, he was a manager at the restaurant that I started working at. Uh-huh. He bought it from the owner. So now, like, one of my childhood friends is the owner of the restaurant that I worked in. So it's like he's taken over, and he did this. He introduced this, like, new pastrami sandwich, which is
love
that. Oh, dude. But it's just – it's so good because you're like – when I lived here, like, it's kind of great because, like, I grew up there. I lived here for 6 years. So it's like I've had pastrami sandwiches.
Yeah.
And anytime anybody from Oklahoma tries to do a New York thing, I'm like – don't embarrass me. You know, it's like, because I want to bring people.
Yeah.
I love representing my state.
I love that.
And but this dude's sandwich is like,
they're legit.
It's like super salty, and just dude, it's everything. It's peppery.
Yeah.
And the coleslaw they have is like super like sweet, so it goes right. Dude, it's like a perfect mesh. I don't know why. I guess I'm hungry. That's why I'm doing
this. No, I was about to say, I love how you talk about food. Because there's so many people that are like, I don't know what term. Do you say fat? What do you call yourself?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is. Yeah, whatever it is.
I love how I went for the most aggressive one first.
Yeah.
What do you call yourself? Fat?
Yeah. Well, people want to be like, oh, I'm like plus size. Or,
yeah.
Like, I respect whatever you want to be called.
Me too.
But for me, it's like, this is fat. Most people identify with fat. I'm not mad about fat.
Sure.
I don't want to fight about fat.
Well, what I like about you is so that you're like a fat. You're a fat. And right. So I'm a fat.
I've never had it been called like that, but.
How, can I make it more offensive somehow?
I am indeed of the fat.
You're of the fat family, right? And as am I. And what I like about you is you speak so bluntly and honestly about food and consumption of food as a fat person.
Right.
Like, when your bit about the best thing in life is eating food alone,
mm-hmm.
I've never heard something more relatable. Like, you are right. The mm-hmm. best tasting food is by yourself.
Dude, it's so funny that you bring this up.
I don't talk about this on here because what is he going to say?
I agree. I agree with that.
Oh, dude.
Alone. Like, I like to go, I like to eat alone.
You get to indulge. Night.
Yeah. You would,
Dude, I was in Pennsylvania doing shows, and I brought a guy with me,
mm-hmm.
and he's like a super tall guy.
Okay.
He's Jason Choi. Do you know Jason Choi?
No, I don't.
He's like a super tall Asian dude. But he's the other side of big and tall, which was hilarious. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay. To watch us both get out of the car was hilarious. It was like we were doing a DXL shoot. It was crazy. And so we go after the shows. We go to in the casino. They have a Johnny Rockets, and so that's the only thing that's open late.
I don't hate a Johnny Rocket. I grew up on it. It was right. In the malls, you know,
100%. Which is it's the only thing that's open. So yeah. It's not like I was like, oh, Johnny Rockets, great.
Yeah.
You know, so we go to get the food, and Jason is like, hey, so where are we gonna go eat it? I go, what do you mean where are we gonna go eat it? And I go, we're gonna go to our room. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, I'm going to go to my room.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this on the counter. I'm going to pull my phone up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my shirt off. And I'm going to eat all this food. And it's going to be amazing. I've been looking forward to this all day.
It's the most alive you'll feel all day.
And he goes.
And at peace. That's my meditation, is eating food alone in a room.
Oh, dude, it's great. It's great. And you pick a show that doesn't, like, you put a show on, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
If a show I watch while I eat, I'll absorb zero of it.
100%.
Because I'm absorbing something else.
Right.
That's just noise, so I don't feel totally alone.
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't want to hear myself chewing.
Yes.
That's it.
And the thoughts. I don't want to hear thoughts.
I don't want to.
I'm all about that. Robbie is a good eater. That's.
I will also eat alone at night and get like $30 worth of food. And just be like, this is my vice.
So what's your go-to?
This is my favorite. I guess pizza for the longest time in New York. But I don't really live by pizza. The other night I got like tacos, nachos, guac.
Now when you're getting pizza just for you.
Yeah.
This is New York, so you can get slices delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get the whole pie or do you get
slices? I've gotten a whole pie, but I would get four slices. Two white with spinach, plain.
This is why he's on here. I got
pepperoni.
We went on vacation and it was tremendous. We ordered four entrees for two of us.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can hold. Because
we're going to try everything.
Yeah. Yes. And that's what we're doing. Everything. So, like, he hangs. And actually, late at night, he wants the food more than me if we're out and about.
Right. Yeah.
He needs it.
Gotcha.
He needs it.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Italian, the main vice is food.
Yeah, I don't think it's a vice. I think it's a superpower.
It's a superpower? Okay. I mean, like, something that you feel down.
I don't like the way he's talking over here.
Right, I'm sorry.
A positive spin for the facts.
You're right. Sorry. Which is, like, something that brings you, I guess you're right. It's not a vice. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do think that it's, like, because, dude, I was in a relationship for a decade. And it's crazy now being in a relationship with an Italian woman. I didn't realize how emotionally scarred I was because this, you know, the girl I was, you know, with for a long time, she would make crock pot meals.
Okay.
And then so it was just, and again, she was a very nice girl. I would never say anything bad about her publicly, but eating mushy gray meals.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh. So now here's the thing. So my girl now, when she makes a crock pot meal, but she seasons it within an inch of its life. I mean, it's crazy.
I like your current partner.
Oh my gosh. She's amazing. Like we go places and I'll eat broccoli. She makes the most amazing broccoli. She puts she's red pepper flakes.
Yeah.
And she seasons it so well.
No, God, tell me. I have some from Italy in my closet.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Of course. I'm a sicko. I always bring, anytime I go to Italy, I bring it back. My sister goes, she'll bring me red pepper flakes back.
Oh, my gosh. Can I steal some in a bag and take it back? Oh, my gosh.
I'll give you a little Ziploc.
This is great. I'm the opposite of an Italian guest where I'm like, hey, instead of bringing you something, can I take something with me?
Nah, yeah, I would be honored for you to bring some red pepper flakes back.
Oh, dude, she would love me. I would,
dude. Of course. I got you.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it tastes the same. It's just emotional.
No.
Intellectually, it's different.
Can we cut that part out, please? They don't taste the same.
You know what? We'll cut this whole part out. You can pretend it's a Christmas gift for your girl.
Oh, yeah. This is great. I love it.
Yeah. So I think that's, hanging with someone that knows how to eat or like someone that knows how to cook is important. I think you could cook vegetables great, but just have to put oil, salt, pepper. Yeah. You got to do the whole kit and caboodle.
She goes so hard, like in the paint. Like, dude, our cabinet with all these, like, I go, what is this? What is that? She goes, don't worry about it.
Oh God.
And the, but when it, dude, when she, when I, when we eat, it's
comes
like,
together.
It, dude, is awesome.
Are you a sneaker guy?
Yeah, I'm not like a title sneaker guy.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know how people are like, oh my gosh, these are the,
yeah.
Hype, you know, beast. Yeah, like the Off-White, these, like, I'm not that,
you know,
dude.
Names.
I definitely will be like, I like the color of these.
Yeah.
And they don't, I don't need a $400 price tag mm-hmm. for me to want them.
Oh, that's awesome. The healthy way.
Yeah.
To be with the,
because I love color. I love all this stuff. So like, if I see a pair of sneakers I want, I go, I want, like, you know, those are what I, yeah. I don't care about what the price is.
That's great.
There's only like three pairs of shoes that I'm like, are like my white whale.
Uh-huh. What are
they? The first pair, number one, is the Travis Scott 4s.
The blue ones. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are like, if I ever, but every and time.
They're good. They're, those are a comfy shoe.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're a comfy shoe.
They're the only, of the Jordans, they're the ones that like that I like. The 4s are the ones that I like.
Yeah, yeah. The 3s are pretty good. I rock 3s and 1s.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, everybody finds their Jordan, and that's the one they stick with.
I know.
But those have always eluded me. One, because when they came out, I was like, I want those. But I was broke. So, but every time I do a little bit better in my career, they become a little bit more expensive. Sure. So they seem a little bit more out of reach every time. It's like, oh, when I could afford to drop $250, $300 on sneakers, they were $500. Whenever I could afford to drop $500 on sneakers, they were $1,000.
Yep.
It's like, that's, they're
keeping pace with you.
They're growing as you grow.
And then the other ones that I have always wanted, and you can't find them anywhere, was the Statue of Liberty Dunks.
Oh yeah,
the ones
are
that
awesome.
they're like the green, and uh-huh. as you like kind of rub the copper
distress comes through. Yeah, yeah, just like how the Statue of Liberty does. Yeah, incredible in like design.
Those are the two that are like, yeah. Oh my gosh.
And because then, like, as a big guy, like, I know that I lean towards sneakers because I can't get the coolest clothes. Right. So like, I'm a,
so you're an equal.
Yes. Oh. So I'm like, I want to show people that I
hold
have
on. Some, I that's oh my gosh.
I want to show people I have some style. And as a big guy, there's only we wear t-shirts, right?
Right.
Shout out One Bone, thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
This is a One Bone collab.
I actually brought my custom One Bone. Fuck, I had this made. From their clothes, like, it's like,
yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, because we talked about it. We go, uh-huh. Hey, we can't wear the same shirt.
I know.
We can't wear the same shirt.
Because both of us, again, are dressed by One Bone. On
oh,
the
absolutely. Yeah. They're literally the best.
They're great. But then sometimes, before that, I was just going to DXL, you know what I mean? Or even worse than that, like JCPenney, big and tall section.
Dude.
That's where people go to die.
Yeah.
That's where people, literally, it's, I've never seen, they'll have, like an XLT and then a 8XLT of the ugliest shirt you ever had. Yeah. Like a Homer Simpson, but it's off brand somehow.
Yeah, dude. It's like, what do you think that we wear? Like, do you, like, and there's some places you go and they're like, oh, we got all these beer t-shirts. And you're like, I'm 30.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 30 with like a, like, I have to look good on stage.
What am I going to wear? A Darth Vader shirt every other day of the week? Why do they think we're obsessed with Star Wars?
And even like,
and Rick and Morty. I'm tired of the Rick and Morty crap.
It is. Yeah, dude, that's bad. And you're
it's
like.
It's all cartoon shirts.
You see people walk into DXL, and but the people helping them at DXL are not like, they're not like, dude, we're going to, like. I wish I could work at DXL for one day just so I could, anybody that comes in and go, you know what, give me your credit card, I'm gonna change your life right now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna change your life right now.
Wow.
And we're gonna dress you, we're gonna take these we're gonna fix you up right now.
Sure.
We're gonna get you 4 outfits that are like, and we're not gonna break the bank, we're not gonna do all this stuff. It's not gonna be just polo.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna
don't get me started on polo.
Oh, dude.
I love polo.
I do, too.
I love Ralph Lauren. You walk in there, sweatshirt's $225.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
But I love that, too, because it's like, it's our Versace. It's our, like, if you see a fat guy in a polo, you're like, oh, that dude's got money.
He had a good month.
If he's got polo sport on, you're like, oh, he's flexing now.
Yeah.
Because he's got the athletic, he's got the leisure wear.
I know that because that is the expensive section of DXL.
Yeah.
Is the polo. I'll like look everywhere else and then I'll go over to the polo and I'll be like, one day.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
You should go all the DXL places. They all the clothing companies have weird corners of their website that have big and tall sections. So like Psycho Bunny, Ralph Lauren.
You know what? I don't do Psycho Bunny.
They have a lot of. I did.
Is that a loss for words?
I went. No.
You're just dumb.
I did a thing where I went. I was gonna defend it, and then I looked in your eyes. I was like, I don't know. I'm not gonna win this one.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna bow out.
Never saw it. Here's the thing. I need to have seen the brands before I walked into DXL to wear it.
Right.
And I never saw Psycho Bunny out. The only person I ever saw wearing it was Shaq.
Right.
And I love Shaq.
Right.
But I'm not looking for him for inspiration for clothes.
What is? I thought it was like a Bad Bunny knockoff. Psycho Bunny. Because like I think he addressed it. Don't they like steal his logo a little bit?
I don't know.
Psycho Bunny's been around for years.
Oh, it has?
So if anything,
maybe Bad Bunny stole their logo.
Yeah.
But what is it? What do you like about Psycho Bunny?
Why does anybody have to steal anything?
I don't know.
Not everybody.
It could be collaborative.
It is. Maybe. Everybody's like hey, what they stole from him. You're like, you know, collab. What's the when the two comics think of the same thing?
Oh,
parallel thinking.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't like how you put art in a box.
I'm sorry. I thought it was like a specific logo that they both use, but I could be wrong.
I'm not sure. But there's corners to these websites where they have.
Yeah, so you just go and you can find they have big and tall, and so the big and tall sizes go like way up there.
That's nice.
Like they'll go like Ralph Lauren goes all the way to like 6.
Wow.
People don't know that. They think they go to 4, maybe 5.
Yeah.
But they go all the way to 6.
That's incredible.
And so you can like find like anything you want. So normally what I do is if I go to these brands, I go and I get them tailored down. So I get like a big size and then I tailor it down to.
To fit your body.
Yeah.
That's
the other thing too.
You have a little money.
Not a whole.
You got a little money.
You can do it on a budget.
You got a little money.
I have a little bit, but it's like it's not like it's nothing crazy. I tell you what, I still live in an apartment. So
well, that's not. Yeah, I guess.
Well, I live in an apartment in Nashville.
Yeah, so that's why I stopped myself mid-sentence.
There it is.
you were like before this. I know that you were like religious, and you were
thought about
being a preacher. Are you still religious in that way?
No.
No, that left, no. Huh?
Yeah, that train was just like, it just kind of like, I kind of let it go.
Uh-huh.
Just because I was just like, and I don't ever fault anybody for, like, I don't ever want to be the guy, because like, a lot of people that leave religion,
they're
like angry about it.
Yeah.
And they're like, how do you know what you're playing? You're like, I don't care.
Sure.
Because I also, like, I had my grandpa and I had a bunch of family members that were all like AA.
Uh-huh.
So I know that, that like religion is like a big part.
Higher
power.
Yeah. So I know that there are people, and I know there's also people in this world that need religion to stay right. Like to keep all, you know. So,
I took a class called Psychology of Religion in college. It was great. You like understand like sometimes people need something bigger than them to help them be 100%. Okay with their day. And I still think there is stuff bigger than us, you know? Like I just don't know what it is.
She's like a 7XL. There's a 7XL out there somewhere.
And you went to school for this?
Yeah, I graduated. I have a degree.
A degree in what?
It's called a Bachelor of Christian Ministry.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So it's like a pastor's.
Uh-huh.
It's like a general pastor's degree.
Yeah.
And I got an emphasis in youth ministry.
Oh, cool.
So that was kind of like my emphasis.
I could tell from the beanie that you're a youth minister.
Yeah.
Were you writing jokes? Minister.
Wait till you see me order pizza. Oh. You know? All right. Can I get 13 of those? Actually, you know what? That's a mistake. It's an old habit. I just got into it. The easy version of it.
Yeah.
It's because there was a lot where it was like, I thought this is what I wanted to do with my life.
Sure.
And then I learned that the business was a little different than what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
And so I kind of like – I realized that the things that I loved about religion, that comedy was the way that I could do all those things.
What were the things?
It was just like kind of like doing something kind of bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
And comedy – and also kind of serving that thing for real. Uh-huh. So like when you make people laugh
– yeah.
Like, that's all that matters. That's literally all that matters.
Yes.
And you can make people laugh in any way you want to. Like, one of the things, and not to be like disparage people, because I do have a lot of friends that are still pastors.
Of course. I think you're speaking very kindly and nicely. Right. People who know nothing about religion shit on it all the time.
Well, I think that's also what's so funny to me is because I open for because I'm a clean comic, a lot of religious people come to my show.
Sure, of course.
And so it is very funny, though, because I went to school with all these pastors. Uh-huh. So all the pastors kind of just, they're all over the country.
Oh.
But you have to think that when people go to college, think uh-huh. about the guys and girls that you went to college with and how they acted.
And then
now those people in my life are all pastors.
Yeah.
So it's like you'll have a guy like this happened 2 months ago.
Yeah.
They were like, "Oh, our pastor blah blah blah, he went to the same school you went to." You go, "And he helped our marriage. He changed our life. Like, he helped us get back on track."
Yeah.
And they show me a picture of him and I go, "You mean Thud?" Thud is the guy. Thud used to take baths in the dorm bathroom.
Yeah. Like, oh God!
You're like, there was shower. Like, why did he even take it? Like, it's a weird thing.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, we're all sharing a bathroom. Why are you taking a bath in here?
He's got
to
plant his wood on his ass.
He's reading Auto Trader. Like, I don't even know where you get that.
Oh my God!
But
Thud's out here like saving lives.
Yeah, he's like, they're like, but he's our pastor. And like,
wow.
Yeah, but I mean, if you saw him the way that I saw him,
yeah.
Like, you're like,
was there partying at that school?
No, we would do. Like, I mean, there was, but it was like
he wasn't drunk. He was just showering in the bath for no reason.
I figured. I thought you were gonna say he was chugging, doing keg stand, smoking.
No. He
took a bath. I went, oh yeah.
He was
college life.
Yeah. Well, he was just like somebody helping you organize your life was the most disorganized person that I ever saw.
Yeah.
It's you could smell his room before we got there.
Ooh.
And he would always do like weird stuff.
Yeah.
Not like bad, but you're just like, it was always just, he was always just odd.
I think that people need to give, like, parents need to give kids warnings, like, about the types of kids at college.
Right.
Because you don't want to be the guy with the stinky dorm room.
Yes.
Like, you need to give a heads up to your kid.
Or even just teach him how to do, because, like, one of the things that the guys used to do, and you're like, that you can't do that. We had an AC unit in each one of our rooms. And they would spray Febreze into the filter.
Oh.
And you're like, oh my gosh, dude.
It would stink up the place.
Because it would get moldy.
Yeah. Because it's water in there.
Yeah.
You know what the better move of that? See, I need to be teaching this. I could be a youth minister too.
Yeah.
I would be like, kids, you take a dryer sheet and you put it on the outside so it blows out.
That's nice.
Don't spray the Febreze in.
That's nice.
I need to tell kids some lessons. Because you don't want to be the stinky kid. You don't want to be the kid that doesn't shower.
Right.
Because there'll be a kid that brags how long he doesn't shower every floor of the dorm. Oh, God. And you don't want to be the kid in the shower all the time.
Well, also, you have to eat next to that person.
Yeah.
Because you have to go to the cafeteria.
I know.
And so.
Remember the cafeteria for the first time?
I do.
I had Locke's Loft, and it was horrible, but I have some of the best memories with those plates.
Could you get more than one?
Yeah.
You could get, like, whatever
you want.
It was a buffet.
Back and forth.
That's great.
Back and forth. And before I would have a big test, I would go fill up on a big breakfast.
Right.
And I just, which is the opposite of what I needed.
Yeah. You're gonna fall asleep in mid-test.
I know. It was. I would have like a 9 a.m. test and like 8 o'clock, I would just be slamming make your own omelets, hash browns, orange juice. It was like, I guess that's good, but I should do after the test as a reward.
Right.
100%. Yeah.
But dude, some of the sleep that I got in college, so we used to have chapel.
Okay.
And it wasn't mandatory, which means that I didn't go.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things is because we had like, we didn't have class on Monday because so many people in our school were like pastors and like, or interning. So because they had to drive a ways away, they didn't have class on Monday so that they could get back to school. So we had like 7 a.m. classes. And so you'd have to get up and go to a 7 a.m. class, 8 a.m. class, 9 a.m. class, like stacked.
Yeah.
And then they go, and by the way, we want you to come to a voluntary chapel. And I go, I think I'm going to volunteer to go get McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah.
And then go to sleep.
Yeah.
This is the alone meal. Did you ever get to eat the steak, egg, and cheese bagel?
Never had
McDonald's? It was like a
first of all, moment. Did you hear that noise, people?
Yeah.
That is more pure joy. That's the most joy a man could express. Is
well, first of all, the big red flag for the steak, egg, and cheese bagel would uh-huh. be that they only allowed it in 13 states.
Okay. Okay.
There were stricter rules for the steak, egg, and cheese bagel than the gun law. Yeah. This country. Yeah.
This shit is dangerous.
I do. But I would get two of them.
Okay.
Even now, I could feel my arteries clogging.
Yeah.
But I would get two of them, and I would go back to my dorm room after being in class for 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., and I would eat two of those bagels, and the sleep that I would go into, it was the best sleep of my life.
Yeah.
It was like you ever just wake up and you just feel like your joints have been you've not moved for 3 hours, and then the first time you just release them. Ooh. You're like, oh, like that's how hard I was sleeping.
You died for a couple minutes.
Oh, dude, it was
great.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's
nice.
You're like,
then I got to go to another class after this. That's why I'd always miss my 1:30 class, because I'm like,
you take a nap.
I'm done for the day.
Yeah,
I'm done till 5 when it's dinner time.
That's nice.
I was a big napper in college too. Now I can't nap, but college I would nap. You could get home from an 8:30 class and you could sleep.
Oh, dude, it was great.
Oh, I can't nap either.
I could sleep on demand then. I can't. It takes me 4 hours to fall asleep now. But back in college, I could sleep like this.
Well, I don't like napping now because I feel like it makes me, like, I don't feel productive. Like, I like going to sleep at like midnight and then I like sleep until whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That and also like cigars have helped me too, because it's like you have a cigar at some point during the day.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of like, that's like my nap time.
You do a cigar every day?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like a big cigar.
Huge.
Sit outside. You are a man that feels like you soak the world in.
Oh, I love it, dude. I'm like.
I could see you sitting there like in silence, just soaking stuff in.
Oh, I love it, dude. That's when I do my best writing.
With the cigar?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, nice.
I'll watch stuff. Like, I watch specials.
Uh-huh.
So that way, I always like tell people whenever I talk bad about a special
uh-huh.
or there's a special that I love, yeah. I watch it all. I watch them all the same way.
Yeah.
I sit in my chair and I smoke a cigar. So
you're a fucking man.
I don't think
do
so.
Do you hear that?
I don't think
wait,
so.
Wait, take that sentence back. Look at you. I made you blush. Did you hear that sentence? You go, I sit in my chair, I smoke a cigar. My chair. To have that phrase, you did it, bro.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Well,
you
I guess I did.
My chair.
I guess I realized it.
I don't have that. You have a chair.
I'm a guy that has a chair.
That's nice.
With suspenders.
Yeah,
and
you got suspenders. You got a chair.
Cigar.
That's the height of a man succeeding, is being able to say, in my chair.
That's it.
That's it, man. Oh, God. So you sit in your
chair. So I'm on my way.
You're there.
Brother.
You're
wearing suspenders. You got a custom shirt on. What are we talking here?
Dude, I've made it.
This is the
whole time I'm like, I don't like my middle 10 minutes or whatever.
No,
you're like,
no,
I'm a guy now.
Yeah. You're a guy. You got a chair. So you smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
You sit in the chair and you put the special on.
Yeah.
And you just soak it.
And I do that, or I listen to music when I'm like when I'm trying to be in my head.
Yeah.
With material, because I always feel like whenever you want to really I changed over about 4 years ago, because when you're in New York, the comedy you write, you have to like, it has to be fast. It has to be very in and out. It's like an interstate.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, it's got to have a lot of entrances and exits. You got to be able to move real fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you sacrifice being personal when you do that. And so now I got to a point where I was like, I mean, I'm saying funny stuff. Like, I know how to be funny.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can feel that people aren't like connected to me. Like that thing that you said where you go, when you said this, like I felt that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what I want to write. I want to write things where people go, man, like I'll have people that come up to me like, yeah, I didn't like this or that. But then one person comes up to me with that same bit and goes, I felt that.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the idea, people leave comedy shows and they go, I liked him.
Yeah.
And they need to know you to like you.
Right.
And you're showing yourself.
Well, I don't even care that they like me. I just want them to, know, like I want them to feel it.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Be like, I get that.
Because I'm not a likable person. I'm really,
I would disagree. I watch your clips too. I'm like, I think you're very likable.
I feel like, because like, I don't feel the same. Like, you see guys that are like, because here's how, and this is, I feel bad saying this, but it's like, are you like, no, say it. Look into that, look into that camera and say it.
Tell me their Instagram handle. I know. I'll take them too. We'll get everyone involved.
I know lots of comics that are, they're very nice and they have a career because people like them. They're not necessarily funny. They're likable.
That's nice.
And people go, oh, I want to be in their aura and be like, I like that. And it's fun. It's like the same thing with like, there are hot people that they're like, I just want to be around that hotness. And like, that's fine.
Wow. Because sounds like you just called out the whole podcast. Likeable hot.
I loved how he turned that.
It sounds like you just shout out the whole entire podcast.
That was
one
great.
Likeable, one hot.
Oh, trying to get people to hang out with us.
So go ahead. Insult us. No, I'm kidding. No,
but you know, we all know the people that are like, dude, if you didn't look like you look, you would have tomatoes thrown at you.
Yeah. Yeah, there is hot privilege in that. They'll listen to you longer.
Right.
They'll be more engaged.
But also I think that's very funny too, because I get in trouble with that too, because I have a particular type that I'm attracted to. And it's very funny. People go, this is hot girl over there. And I go, what is she behind the skinny girl? Like, you're like, because like, people be like, oh my, look at this hot girl. And you're like, dude, you can't show this to me.
Sure.
This isn't my type.
You have a type.
Like, dude, if it's not under two, you can save it for somebody else.
This is beautiful.
I'm telling you,
are a preacher. Oh, I will tell this. You are preaching the good word, because there's so many big guys that won't go for a big girl.
There's a lot of big girls that won't go for a big guy. It goes both ways.
You just said the reverse, you know. A real big reverse, you know.
I'm telling
you. No, but there are people, because there's this idea of a chuple.
Right.
A chubby couple.
Oh, 100%.
Right? And people are scared to be in that, because they're like, oh, I don't want to be identified as that.
Right.
But to know the like stuff that you both deal with, like being a person overweight, also to know how to enjoy food together.
Right.
Also, what's better than a big ass?
Oh, absolutely.
Dude, I wanted to say the big ass. I wanted to say the big ass first, but I go, polite.
Right.
Also, some titties.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is like, sometimes you have people that, you have a girl that has one,
yes,
and not the other,
yeah,
and you learn to appreciate either one.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't. Need
I love,
both.
I love the whole thing. I like.
Me too.
I've learned, like, it's so funny. Growing up, for years, I pretended to like because that's what everybody told me. That's what you should want. That's what you. And then you'd see guys, and they have like. You see big guys, and they have like, because they're successful, they have these like these Barbie dolls with them. You go, oh, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then you realize, you go like, but I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's sexy. I don't think that that's hot. I was like, it's like when you see like a thick girl like just walking, and she knows how to walk. Like she's gotta move her hips more than everybody. You're like, dude, everything.
I'm gonna sound pretty wild.
Yeah.
But I love it when the butt takes a minute to catch up.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, the leg moves and the butt takes a minute to catch up.
There's like a TV delay.
Oh,
oh yeah, dude.
That 5 second ass delay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm eating tonight.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah, it's just, man. Like a,
just, I just, it just, I've, there's so many times, I just thought about it in my head, and I had to take a second, just now, did you see me do that? Did you see me just lose it for a second?
Yeah, you went, no, no, no.
I was just thinking about my Instagram Discover page, is basically what I was thinking about right there, just, that's what happened.
No, I also am of the belief, like, whatever the person I love has, I'm excited about.
Right.
Like, I'm not a person that's, like, I've been with people who have larger boobs and been like, oh, I love that. Or then a big ass. Like, oh, that's awesome. Like, you know, isn't it great to be with anyone that has something awesome?
Well, I will say that of all of the groups that do thick, Italian women do it maybe the best. I'm telling you, it's like, it is very crazy. Like, because when I lived in New York, I lived in a Dominican neighborhood. And so you're like,
they do, Dominican. Oh, they do it great. Beautiful too.
They do it great.
You gotta tell me, where'd you live? The Heights?
Yeah, I lived in Inwood.
Oh, Inwood. Oh,
wow. So right cool. above. Yeah,
207
yeah.
over there. I lived on 176 for a bit.
Oh my gosh, dude. It's yeah. like there but there it's even like the they have like a raw kind of like sexuality.
Yeah.
Dominican women.
Uh-huh.
Even like when they are older. You're like, dude, I remember one time I told somebody this story the other day. I was like, I was dropping my laundry off. And the woman that runs the laundromat, she's like 55, 60,
uh-huh.
like a. And then I drop it off, and she, I go, "Hey, here, whatever." She weighs it, and she goes, "I'll have it to you by Thursday. Is Thursday okay?" And I go, "Actually, I gotta leave." She knew what I did,
yeah.
So I go, "I gotta leave on the road on Wednesday. Could you have it on Wednesday?" And she goes, "Absolutely, Poppy." And she touched my hand, and I just went,
"I caught feelings."
Do I want to lock the door to this laundromat right now and go at it with this 55-year-old woman? I think that I do.
Yeah. Did she just make a move on you?
Dude, she like, you're like, and you're like, dude, how am I, how do I, like, they, like, dude, I'm in love.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
That was the first time. The first time a white guy gets called Poppy. Are you white?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
yeah. The first yeah, yeah. time a white guy gets called Poppy changed yeah. my life.
It's a game changer.
And mine was from my deli guy next door.
Yeah.
And I felt feelings. He called me Poppy. Went, oh, Dios yeah. mios.
He definitely.
he comes in. He goes, I got to show you something. He brings me across the street, and he just starts walking around, waiting for him to call him Poppy. And he's like, he's fishing for it. I'm like, what's
going on?
Fishing
for Poppy. I'm wearing my best blazer
he's
over there.
Hey. Waiting, and I'm like, all right, this is funny. But
wait, let's take a moment and talk about how beautiful a thick Italian woman is.
Okay. I knew he was going to come back. Okay. And can I tell you something? I was hoping he was going.
Okay.
You know what's the best about Italian women that I love is how bold they are, how loud they are, how you know exactly what they're thinking. They like to eat and they like to give you food.
Right. And they're so like they're so open minded about everything. Like people like
comes to Staten Island.
Yeah. I didn't. I love that they whatever system they want to have in place.
Yeah.
They will find a way to make that like normal.
Yeah.
So whatever like is like you look at like even like mob people.
Okay.
You go, oh, this is just our life. And this is so they take a crazy situation mm-hmm. and they make it feel normal because they cover it in like a weird it's like a force field. So whatever the belief system is, they kind of just hold it and keep it tight.
They support their family.
They go,
this is my family and this is what we do.
Yeah, I'm sorry I brought science fiction into it.
Yeah, please. The mafia isn't real. Please. Well, we're sponsored by them today.
No. Right.
What and you made that jump from doing ministry stuff to comedy,
right?
And was there like a tipping point? Was there something that happened, or was it just like a slow, like maybe I want to do this, I want to do this, well, I want to do this?
I was always into it because so when I started preaching, I learned very early on that the best way in because preachers will do this thing where they'll tell like a joke up front, mm-hmm. and it's the worst joke. That you've
what
ever
would
heard.
Be a cliche yeah. preacher joke?
It's a joke you would read off the like off an email, uh-huh. an email in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Think of a one paragraph joke that you get emailed where it's like a farmer was driving down his road uh-huh. and he saw this thing and he goes, "Oh my gosh, this thing!" And then he took it into town and they said this thing uh-huh. and the guy was like, "I don't know this thing," and then the farmer goes, "Nope, this thing." Yeah. Like it's like it's so bad.
Sure.
Yeah. You're like I can't even think of like an exit. Like it's like a street joke.
Yeah.
It's like a clean street joke. It's like a joke a barber tells 100 times in a day while he's given a terrible haircut.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's all it is. And I realized I was like, but it kills.
Yeah. It has to kill every time.
I mean, it's like imagine you get called into the principal's office.
Yeah.
And he's gonna suspend you, but before he does, he goes, "All right. So three guys walk into a bar."
Yeah. Like, you're like, you gotta laugh.
The tension is there.
Yeah.
That's why.
So
yeah.
You already know something bad's happening. So the fact that he breaks it with humor,
yeah.
it makes it a 10. But I learned, I watch guys do that and I go, in my head, I remember going, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like they suck at this.
Totally.
So I go, well, I'm gonna do it better. I'm going to be better than that. So I learned how to tell jokes. I learned how to be funny. I also grew up, there was a woman, luckily, that I grew up down the street from, and she was a professional storyteller.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, wow.
So she would tell these stories. Like, she would have, like, she'd go to festivals and carnivals, and she would have, they had all these hay bales, and she would just tell story after story after story. Like, it was a whole thing. Wow. And I would sit there for hours, and I would listen to her tell stories.
Were they, like, her about her life, or were they?
They were stories, like, she had read them, and, like, she would write some of them, but, like, that's what she did. Like, she was a professional storyteller. Yeah, she'd go to conventions and tell, in front of, like, thousands of people, she would tell stories.
Incredible.
And, dude, she was great. But I learned how to tell stories from watching her. And then I found stand-up comedy. I used to watch... whenever the HBO free weekends, whenever they weren't, you know, it was free. You're like, they'd always have a comedy special.
Sure.
And I would just kind of watch it. And then when I got to school, they'd have a class called homiletics, which is like a preaching class. And I go, oh, well, I'm going to go up top. I'm going to do like 2 or 3 minutes of stand up.
Oh, that's awesome.
And just kind of like, and have it go the direction of my sermon. And then I realized that the more sermons that I was doing, I was working harder on the first 4 minutes than I was on the entire sermon.
Wow.
And then I got to the end of the road with preaching where I was like, I graduated and I was like trying to find a place to do ministry. And then all those doors kept closing. And I was like, well, this is, and I was working like I was working in the oil field. And I was like,
that's a hard job. That's Armageddon shit.
Well, no, it wasn't like I wasn't drill. Like I was just, I was going to the rigs.
I was imagining you being Michael Clark Duncan in Armageddon, just slamming drills.
I'm going to tell you something. The fact that he said Michael Clark Duncan and not Steve Buscemi makes me feel so good right now.
You're a man in my eyes.
All the way. This is also so funny to me
because
do you know my girl's family's favorite movie is Armageddon? I mean, it's so crazy that
that's a great movie.
That's the movie that you brought up. Like,
that is a Long Island movie,
dude. That's so funny.
Steven Tyler is one of those guys that he goes, he's a little fishy, but we like him. We like Aerosmith, you know. I don't know about him, but I like the music.
Dude, my girl, I'm not gonna tell her this. Yeah. When she listens to this, she goes, "He brought up Armageddon," and like she's gonna flip out.
I love Armageddon.
Yeah.
For my first time, I took a girl on a date. We were going to dance, the CYO dance.
Right. Okay.
And I've told this before, but your girl needs to hear this.
Right.
I invited this girl, Nicole, over. My mom goes, you'll get a flower. She comes to the house. She brings her parents to the house, and then we take you to the dance. I must have been 10.
Right.
She got there, and I played Don't Want to Miss a Thing and sang to her before we went to the dance.
And her parents.
My mom lied on a Shea lounge going, that's my son, as I played Armageddon, Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
So you went all in on the first thing.
I went all in.
How did that go?
I got in a fight at the CYO dance because someone said they blew my mom, that my mom blew them. Okay. And I went, no, she didn't. My mom didn't blow you. And this 10-year-old go, yeah, she did.
Oh, so she didn't defend you?
The girl?
The girl.
Nah.
And you say, don't want to miss a thing.
Not Italian.
Oh.
She didn't know about the shields. She didn't know about the force shields. No, she was great, dude. Nicole.
That's crazy. It's so funny that whenever you're young and you go to a dance, you think that, like, for some reason, you think, like, this is the time to put it all on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Because I did the same thing.
You did?
My senior prom.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dude.
You went with someone or you were
no,
like...
So I had this girl that I had a crush on and she always kind of kept me like arm's length.
Okay.
Kind of like a...
Annoying.
Always like kind of like in the friend zone, but then like when I was like, when I would kind of like move on, when I would like kind of start seeing somebody else, she'd kind of like reel me back in. Like I didn't know these games. I was a Christian boy from Oklahoma.
Yes.
What did I know? I was a country mouse. I don't know things. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This is some bullshit excuse.
I'm just out here reading.
You country boys can pull off. How dare you pull on a country mouse shit? How dare you bring this propaganda?
Know? What do I know?
How would I know, officer? I'm just a little country boy.
I have to look people up in the phone book. What am I gonna do? You know.
I didn't know cocaine was illegal.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. It depends. Is this cocaine? I don't know.
I'm a little country boy. So you're a little, and she, every time you go with someone, she like trying to drag you in.
So Yeah, so it was kind of like a, for 2 years, we're playing this weird game. Yeah. And so I go, it's my senior prom.
Okay.
I didn't go to my junior prom because I was a man of the Lord. And I was like, I don't, what's this? There's nothing for me. And yeah, that's, I was deep in religion. Like I was into it.
Yeah.
And then my senior prom, my mom was like, hey, you should go. Like, this is a memory thing. So I go, okay. I invite this girl. We talked a lot. And so I remember that she was like, she told me one time, months before, that she wanted to dance with the, like the one of her most exciting things was that she wanted to dance with the love of her life to this one song. I remembered it, wrote it down. I didn't have a computer at this time, so I went to school and I paid a guy $5 to burn that song onto a CD because I didn't have a CD burner.
Yeah,
remember, country kid.
Of course.
So, and so I got the CD, and so on the way home from the dance, I was like, hey, let's make a pit stop. I pulled into the high school parking lot.
Stop, bro.
And I, by the way, I had a pickup. So I pull the truck in, roll the windows down, turn the radio up, and I put the song into the CD player. I walk around the truck, and I ask her, this is the one song we didn't get to dance to. Can we dance to this song? Dude, when I tell you that I was a kid putting it all on the line.
Wow.
Dude, I went all in.
This is... How did it go?
She goes, oh, that was great. It was in the middle of it, I was like, dude, I'm crushing it right now.
Yeah.
Didn't even get a kiss on the cheek.
And
dude, I was heartbroken.
Because you're like, this is me. Like, I put so much thoughtful energy. Maybe you'll
date
me. Maybe we could be together.
Like, but you're like, this
romantic.
Is... Romantic. This is my stand right here. This is my romantic stand. Yeah. And then I got my heart broken. And then I found a baddie from Florida. And I'm good now.
Hello.
I like it, though. I think it's a good move. You got to put it out there. It ends the games.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is how I feel. You told me how you feel. Now we're... This is it. We're not going to do any more cat and mouse.
But also, I'm a guy that, like, I'm like you. Like, I go for it.
Yeah. You should
like,
go
like,
for
it. It's kind of a thing where it's like, it's kind of a beautiful thing. Like, I don't pursue women any. Like, I stopped doing that.
Sure.
Because, like, why do I have to convince you to be with me? You either want to or you don't.
Yeah.
Well, there's this thing with big guys that, like, they never assume that we are romantically interested in them.
Right.
That I have always had to been like, oh, I've had to flirt hard. Like, not like aggressive, but like I've had to make it clear.
Right.
So I'm not just the fun friends, you know?
So you have to go over the top.
I just have to be like, I think you're hot.
Right.
I just have to flat out say it. I go, I'm into this.
Yeah.
Or so then they're not just like, oh, Sebastian, I love him.
Right.
When you hear the I love, when the love hits
multiple,
you know that's not real.
Oh, dude.
I love him.
Yeah.
I go, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
I think you're hot, right? Because, or else I'm just this fun friends, you know?
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, through media, big men are perceived as like sexual beings.
Right.
Except for Jack Black, shout out.
My girl loves Jack Black.
Of course she does.
Of course she does.
She's with you.
Yeah.
What are we talking? I was hoping that you'd be wearing the suspenders walking in. School of Rock style.
It's of all the guys that are on it's just an homage to chubbiness. It's like she loves like Gandolfini, Danny DeVito, Black.
Danny DeVito's a chubby guy?
Oh, dude, he's the chubbiest.
Oh, I thought he was just short.
Well, but I mean, like, he qualifies.
He does. Okay.
I mean, I don't want to take it away. Listen, if you at some point get the nod to play the Penguin, you're chubby for life.
Okay.
You are chubby for life.
This is good. I'm wrong. I'm still on the fence about this pizza place, but the Penguin thing, I'll take.
Well, you just got to try it the next time.
I will. Next time I come through, I will
Next
try
time you
it.
Go to Oklahoma.
Hey, who knows what brings you out there, you know?
That's
I never
true.
Thought I'd be there.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope you get to come.
Jack Black is a guy that was like did wonders for the big community.
Because
he was one of the first, between that man right there, Chris Farley.
Right.
Right? He was the person that showed me that like, oh, how lovable a fat man could be, right?
100%.
But Jack Black was someone that was a romantic lead in movies.
Right.
And that changed it for me. Because I go, oh, the man could be... not just lovable by all, but a woman could love him.
100%.
And then James Gandolfini showed me that a fat guy could fuck.
Yeah.
Show me that a fat guy isn't just lovable, yeah, but he's sexy, yeah, and he knows how to throw some dick around.
100%. You know what's wild? Have you ever heard the stories about him before? Dude, he was doing that before he was ever famous.
Of course.
Oh, really?
He wasn't acting that much.
No, no, no.
Everyone goes, he's a great actor. He's a good actor. He's a better aura. You know what I mean? It's his energy.
I see interviews, and I'm like, he's not really Tony Soprano at all. Remember the four episodes he does where he's Kevin Finnerty or whatever?
My least favorite episode.
Yeah, well, that's what he's like in interviews. He was a theater boy in New Jersey.
You don't got to tell. Yeah, he keeps that secret.
Yeah.
But he's not
repping Mason Gross.
100%. Like,
shout out Rutgers one time.
Shout out Mason Gross.
I can't believe you didn't say Mason. I can't believe I knew that. Yeah. We know all the theater companies here. Yeah.
So what is it like being like a theater kid here?
I did like a ton of musicals growing up because my sisters did it. So
right,
I didn't love them or anything.
Yeah. They do 16.
It's whatever. Backstage, all the girls are naked. So what are you gonna do? What are you?
They always get adjusted.
It's always the same thing when you meet like a male cheerleader and like an SEC or like. Uh-huh. You're like, why would you do that? And you go, I don't know, man, because all the cute girls are always around. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you have to play it like that. You're like, yeah. I don't like I enjoy this. Like you can't just enjoy something.
You can't. No, yeah. I don't even do musical theater. I go, yeah, whatever. I don't care. I'm giving excuses for a 10-year-old kid. No, I did theater for years, and then I was like, I didn't like singing. Like that always stressed me out.
Right.
Because. You could really fuck up singing. You could really do a bad job singing. And it's very embarrassing. And I liked like the parts where I would get laughs. So it's like, let me figure out how I just perform and get laughs.
Right.
And I was like, oh, improv sketch, right? It's like I'm doing just the funny parts of plays.
Right.
And so I do all that now. And then I now teach online. Well, I teach, you know, it's cool. I teach people from all over. So I bet you I teach some people from Oklahoma.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
They could use a lot more lessons. I'll tell you that much.
Not that funny?
It's crazy that it's like they don't understand like the art form of it.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
They in Oklahoma it's kind of hard for them to kind of grasp. But there are like ballet is very big in Oklahoma. It's huge. Like,
Russia and Oklahoma. Like, I heard the two big spots.
Well, there's it really is. But like the University of Oklahoma has like an amazing ballet company. Like Oklahoma. Like I had a girl that I went to school with.
Uh-huh.
She dropped out of high school for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Because she was like a traveling ballerina.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like it's like a thing.
She's on like a touring company.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's just, it's weird. She just like disappeared for 2 years. Like where is she? So, she's traveling the country with a ballet company.
That's amazing.
And so you're like, do they do that? You're like, yeah, it's like a thing. It's like a big thing.
It's like Pittsburgh, you would never think has a huge musical, like ballet theater thing. It's like popping there. It's like there are these like niche communities throughout the United States that are like, oh, wow, you really are flourishing. I did not realize that.
It's like, oh, they all bonded together like, hey, listen, we're tired of these guys that are just wearing, you know, trucker hats and like jackets and stuff like that. So it's like we're gonna do the other thing.
Did you chew tobacco growing up?
No, I never did. Oh, my whole family did.
Of course they did.
It was I really was like the only one that didn't.
Yeah.
Like all my uncles did. Like my great grandpa used to have like the brick. He'd have a pocket knife.
Uh-huh.
And so he'd have like a brick of chew and he would cut it and he would put it into his mouth, into his lip, and his lip. So when my grandpa, he started dipping Levi Garrett, which is a pouch,
uh-huh,
and you pull it out. And my great grandpa would look at him dipping Levi Garrett. And he goes, "He's a child."
Yeah, I would. Like, I tried to dip in college, and I would just put pouches in, and I would have like a 50% puke rate.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
I would be like, I want to do it. It's cool. I want to do it. I liked when it would relax me, but half the time I would have to pull over on the side of the road, throw up. I threw up on a plane once. It would just make me puke.
I mean, it is crazy how much it's like modified. Yeah. Where it's like my great grandpa cut the bark.
Yeah.
And then my grandpa used to, my great grandpa or my regular grandpa used a pouch. And then all my uncles did like skull and Kodiak. My dad did Kodiak.
Sure.
Where it's like you just stick your tongue out and you just grab a, you just grab a dip.
Yeah.
And then now all the guys that I know have the pouches, like the snus.
Yeah, that's what I would use.
It's like, it's crazy. That's the only form of tobacco that's evolved.
Oh, yeah. Because if anything, I guess cigarettes have become like
the vaping. Vapes.
The vape. Yeah. But if anything, cigarettes have become like people roll their own more than ever.
Yeah.
It's like unfiltered is more popular than ever.
Well, I think it's also the quality of tobacco that you get when you have to roll your own too.
It's because better.
Like that's why cigar smoking is like such like a thing where people go, like, aren't you afraid you're going to get, like, and I go, no, because, like, the quality of tobacco in a cigar is exponentially, like, better. It's long. It's a longer process. Like, a cigarette from the time a seed is planted to the time it's a cigarette is 6 weeks. A cigar, on average, is 2 to 3 years.
Oh, wow.
So if you smoke a hand-rolled cigar, like, any, like, you go down, like a Monte Cristo, it's a two-year investment. Wow. Somebody invested 2 years of their knowledge and life into that cigar. Even if it's bad.
Yeah.
So the great ones are even aged longer than that.
Do you go like this?
No.
I have to ask.
No, you don't. It is kind of like a thing.
I don't want to look like a fool. Be like, let me check that out.
Yeah, when people do that, you go, first of all, as a cigar person, I go, what are you smelling for? Yeah. Tell me exactly what you're smelling. Yeah. First of all, there's a wrapper on that. Yeah. So good luck with that.
Yeah. Like, I was just, because that's what they show in movies and stuff like that. The person like sliding a cigar across their nose.
Well, that's so, here's another thing too. And I'll tell you this. You watch cigar people in movies, they light with the wrong lighter. They light with Zippo lighters. I've been smoking cigars for years. Uh-huh. I've never seen a guy light a cigar with a Zippo lighter unless it was a last resort.
Oh, okay. What was it?
They all use like butane, or if they're like a real cigar guy, they have a piece of cedar wood, and they'll light the cedar wood, or they'll use matches. They'll use matches because matches would like butane. You can sometimes taste a little bit of the butane. If you're like a purist.
Yeah.
But also you can take like a piece of wood and light your cigar.
Wow.
So like the wood burns and you just light. And it's like, that's the purest form of it.
Are you rocking pure?
No. Butane. But I have like a, I use a butane just because I'm like, I always smoke. Like I'm on the go.
Yeah.
So like I can't have wood with me. Like I already have so much stuff as it is.
You can't be going through TSA and be like, sir, why do you have all this wood?
Yeah. That would be very funny.
I'm just a country man.
In case I run into any vampires, I always like to make sure that I got plenty of wood around.
Where are you going to smoke your cigar today in New York?
I don't know yet. I haven't made a plan. I don't know. Is there any good spots in Brooklyn that I should go to?
I don't know.
Oh.
Do you smoke? Do you want to smoke?
I don't smoke.
I would smoke a cigar. He would. I like a cigar. Yeah.
I don't smoke.
You're
going to
see me with the skinny guy?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that a bad look? Roll it up. What can I do to man myself up?
No, I don't smoke cigars, unfortunately.
You should give it a shot.
I've used to smoke a lot of weed, and then I stopped that, and now I just take edibles occasionally. Tamed down. You know where? How cold is it outside?
It's cold.
I was gonna say you go by the water, but it might be a little too cold for that.
Well, I mean, that's the one thing I learned living here is you're always prepared to be outside.
Yeah.
For a good amount of time.
Yeah, you always have to know. Like, I might be walking somewhere for a little bit. I might be doing this. You know. You need a good jacket. When I was a kid, like having a good jacket was like the move. Cause a kid in New York, you just spend hours just standing outside.
Right.
Just standing.
You're always waiting for something.
Waiting for your mom to not smell the weed on you.
Right. I got to air out. I got to be outside.
Oh, always. I remember when I first got my first North Face, that was like a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then it was like, you could stand outside for a long time, and it had like six pockets. One pocket was big enough to hold a 40.
Oh, wow.
I had like one of the longer, big North Faces, and I could put a 40 in my jacket.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
You weren't drinking as a kid.
No, I did. I did not drink until I was 21 years old.
Oh, wow.
And on your birthday, you had that sip.
Yeah. I was in a casino in Vegas with my mother and my grandmother. And I bought a Corona. That was my first. That was my first drink.
Turn up.
Yeah, I mean, dude, It was, but it was just because that's what my dad always drank. So
yeah.
I was like, ah, that's what he drank. Uh-huh. And my, one of my uncles always drank it. So I was like, it was, but it wasn't fun. It wasn't like a, dude, I didn't get lit. Like
you
I
had
was just,
one Corona and then you're like, I'm good.
Well, I never really found, like, I wasn't a huge, even when I was doing comedy, like I didn't really, I always just drank what other people drank.
Yeah.
Like when I started doing stand up like regularly, like, uh-huh. like, I would just drink Coors Light.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, I was like, it was there, whatever.
It's not a bad beer.
That's what I drink.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I would said that into a camera. But I said about it. I didn't pass notes.
I like a Coors Light. You know why?
I like,
sometimes
yeah.
the heavy IPAs, they get me foofing.
Right.
They get me farting. 100%. And you know what's embarrassing? So I don't like drink beers often. Sometimes, like, if us, we go out, we'll have some beers.
You got to watch for gout now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, how old are you?
34.
It's on the way.
Stop.
I'm telling you.
You gave me suspenders. A good
anxiety.
Thing.
Yeah.
You have gout?
Oh, dude. It's not all the time, but it'll flare.
Ever since I was a kid, I would do like that stupid ass lunchroom trick where I would see how fast I could chug a water bottle.
Yeah, that's great.
I was all about that. So ever since I was a kid, I blame that. I think it made my stomach bigger.
Right. Yeah. I'm not,
it does make your stomach bigger.
I'm not fat.
Sure.
I'm a waterlogged.
Yeah. I stretch through water because I would do two water bottles in a row sometimes. Like, that couldn't be good for a young boy.
Right.
I mean, it definitely makes your stomach. My friend did the hot dog eating contest, and the way that he was able to eat almost as many as Joey Chestnut was he would chug water every morning before work for an hour.
Wait, who's your friend?
My friend's name is Carmen Cincotti.
Okay.
And he got up 64 and a half, I think. And he's not a big guy. He just stretched his wall, his stomach. He was on, yeah, for years. He got second place. He won like $50,000 to $100,000.
Respect for you now. He opened up.
Let me make sure.
Yeah,
that,
this kid's
make sure
so
the camera's
bad.
Getting them, my man. Yeah.
No, but he—that's what he would do. Chug water because you can't buy that many hot dogs every morning.
Right.
No. Yeah.
And that's what it is, but.
Yeah, so I would chug water. And then I was in college because I would drink. I would be able to do a party trick where I would shotgun a 24-ounce beer.
Oh, wow.
And I would shotgun it, and then everyone would cheer. And then I had to go stand in the corner for 5 minutes because I felt so sick.
Right.
But for me, when I drink a ton of beers, I just end up farting. And, like, if I go on a date, I can't drink beer because God forbid a girl comes home.
Right.
And then she deals with me, and then I'm a stereotype of a fat guy farting on her all night long.
Yeah.
I can't do that. We need to hang out three times
well, that's
before
you gotta,
I poof.
You got to become a cocktail guy.
You're
that's
a cocktail man.
I am now.
What do you drink?
What's your cocktail?
Old fashioned is my favorite. Dude, a nice old fashioned.
You are so freaking grown.
Yeah.
Old fashioned, a cigar, you got my chair. An old fashioned is good.
Oh, dude, when it's done right. When it's like when somebody takes time to really make a good one, I don't think there's anything better.
Oof.
Because it's like you taste all, because like all an old fashioned does is kind of like exemplify like the notes of a good whiskey. So you're like, oh, this is, I understand why whiskey people like they're so big about, because like all you kind of feel all the notes when you have like a. When they make it like the cocktail like the right way.
I like a cocktail that you could taste the alcohol in.
Yeah.
I don't like something that is masked.
Right.
I like to know that I'm putting poison in my body.
100%.
I think it's actually more dangerous if you don't taste the liquor.
Right. It's like I don't want to pretend like this is something else.
No. Let's call it what it is.
I want to know.
Poison.
Right. It's poison.
And let me poison me. I want to feel the poison going down. When I was because I liked sugary drinks.
Right.
And so I would do this move in high school. I would get like beers for the guys and then Smirnoff ices and bring it and be like, because like girls back then would drink the Smirnoff ices. And I was the worst because I'd be like, I got some Smirnoff ice too.
Yeah.
I drink all of them before the girls could even touch them. And someone would be like, Sebastian, why the hell are you drinking all the Smirnoff ices?
Right.
God, they're good.
Because they're trying to get the girls.
They're just trying to get them, like, having fun with it because they won't drink and they'll want to go home.
Right.
If there's
nothing to drink. Right.
Yeah, there's nothing to drink. We can't play a drinking game with you not drinking.
Right.
Yeah.
He's over there just with six empty bottles.
Sure, me just bouncing off the walls with the sugar high. I think I was invited out to Tennessee to go teach in Nashville.
Oh yeah,
there's a comedy theater out there.
Yeah,
I forget which one it was. I should follow up.
Yeah, you should come out, dude. Yeah, it's a great town. It's so much fun. The food is good. I would say it's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's
and the music is good.
Yeah. Well, because you can kind of pick your lane with, because some people people like live music, but they don't really care about the quality of it.
Okay.
So it's just like, as long as a guy is in a guitar in the corner,
sure,
I like it.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I felt that way a little bit about the bars in Dublin.
There is that vibe.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, it doesn't matter. The guy's playing music in the corner.
Yeah, they don't really care. It's kind of like a piano thing where they're like, there's a guy in the corner. Who cares? And then there's some places where it's like, this is our thing, but they're just playing cover songs. And then there's places you can go where it's like songwriters. Like, I have a buddy of mine, his name is Adam Hambrick.
Uh-huh.
And he's written for a bunch of the country music people. Like, he's got like 5 or 6 or 7 like number one songs.
Damn.
That he's written.
Yeah.
And he does music on his own now. And he'll go to this place called The Listening Room or like the Bluebird Cafe. And those are where people are doing like originals.
Those sound like Nashville joints.
Well, but here's the thing, is also a lot of the singer, like the songwriter guys, they're not good at singing.
Of course.
You're like you hear him, you're like, this is tough. But Adam, my dude, he's like,
he's got a
he slays, dude. He's like, you're like, and that's the thing. It makes me, honestly, being in Nashville makes me feel better about where I am in my career. Because you see, like, my buddy Adam is like this he's incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Can write an amazing song that, like, will make you feel.
Yeah.
Like, dude, whenever I would hear him, like, play songs live. Like, I remember the first time I went and saw him, and I heard this song that he wrote. And I'm crying at the bar. And you're like, dude, this is crazy. And he sings great, but you're like, but he can't even get in the door. Like, nobody wants to put him on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wants to do. And you're like, dude, what are you? This dude is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I see what you put on there. Like, I see what you put in. And so, like, it kind of just makes me realize, you're like, oh, like, there are lots of really talented people that are where you are. It doesn't mean that you're not talented. It doesn't mean you're not amazing. It doesn't mean you're even, like, not speaking to the people.
Yeah.
It's just, you just got to bide your time until you get. You'll get your chance, and then once you get your chance, they're gonna find all your stuff.
Yeah.
You're gonna have this body of work. Because
be ready.
Yeah, 100%.
You'll be ready, and it's great to see that through another art form, because it would be too hard to, like, comedy. You could see that, but it's easier to see it through like music, where you have no horse in the race.
Right.
So you're like, if that, like, you have no stake in like saying he's good or not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like you're able to really feel that, and you're like, if that applies to him, it could apply to this, and that. You know.
Right.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love. So you always keep coming back to this word feel.
Yeah.
I think that's nice. Why I liked. So when I was younger, I got really into Ray Charles, and I would like think, why do I like him? It's because I could feel him through the keys.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. I liked piano players, and I liked the ones that you could feel emotionally as they hit the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And I am obsessed with this idea of, like, you either need to tell me who you are. Let me know so I could feel you, like, or make me feel something, right? Like, I'm obsessed with, like, a musician that makes me feel rather than their voice being perfect.
Dude, it's so funny you say that Ray Charles thing, because in my head, like, anybody that can play... just like I can hear four notes and three words, and it makes me close my eyes. Dude, when I hear the phrase...
Well, that's offensive for Ray Charles.
Yeah, well...
How dare you? That's appropriation right there.
That's very funny.
He goes, I like, you guys better have your eyes open out there.
That's why Jump says, I love you so much right now because I was legit about to go into like a very serious, like, I was going to say something. And dude, you caught me with a right hand. Like, dude, he got me so bad. I wasn't even looking at you. I was looking at the table trying to say the thing that I was going
to
say.
About to close his eyes.
Oh, my God. I was about to close
No, it just makes you feel it.
And for sure.
And also, there's so few piano players that you know who they are from a notes. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I
love it. What were the three words?
Oh, yeah. Well, when you hear him go, it brings a tear. And then I know that next note. And when it comes, into my eyes. Dude, like, everything that he said, you're just like, dude, I know that moment. I know that moment. Like, I know what it feels like.
I'm so sick with that. I know that song from him playing it by himself and with the orchestra.
Yeah.
Like, I was into Ray Charles.
Yeah.
And then the movie came out and everyone started getting into it. I go, you fucking posers.
Yeah.
I go, I liked them before.
I got into him because of the movie.
Yeah, you like Jamie Foxx.
Well, I was 10 when the movie came out. And I wasn't allowed to watch PG-13 movies and I was allowed to watch the Ray Charles movie.
I would get so annoyed when people were playing Ray the soundtrack with Jamie Foxx singing. I go, what the fuck are we doing?
Right. So
just
like
go
Digger.
To the source.
Yeah.
Go to, what? Like, it's pissed me off so much that that was a CD. That it was just Jamie Foxx doing Ray Charles songs.
Well, he did it on a Kanye song.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, but
they changed the lyrics a little bit.
But I guess if more people found out who Ray was.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he was like it's kind of like a thing where he was just like a beautiful, like a soul.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh, dude, like that's honestly, that's as an artist, like that's what I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody to like, when they find my stuff,
yeah,
I want them to feel like that thing, like that, like a, like, oh my gosh, dude, like I know that, how that feels or what he's talking about or like, oof. That's that, to be that guy and do it through comedy. Like, people don't do that. Like, and that takes time.
Well, that's really, that's good that you moved away from New York then.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, because here it's like a culture of like, you got to be quick. And you're performing for tourists here all the time. It's like, and it's just like standing, saying jokes.
Yeah.
Dave Attell is the cliche, like, like the king of New York comedy.
We even like,
you don't know shit about him.
Norman, Morrell, those are, they're all great.
They're joke writers.
Yeah. And they're all fantastic at it. Even Joe List. And the only thing that the only knock on them would be like, that you can hear them talk for an hour and you don't know anything about them.
Yes.
You know nothing about them.
No.
And I just love that. Like, because I'm a very emotional guy. Like, even, like, I mean, dude, Nate makes fun of me so much.
Oh, really?
He goes, I mean, it's just like, because, dude, I'll cry at the drop of it. Like, if there's a moment that I have,
right,
like,
in front of the boys?
Dude, I will. Absolutely.
I love that. You got to tell this to Sebastian.
And I almost saw a tear. I was protecting you.
Yeah. But I, like, I get very, like, emotional.
That's nice.
And I can. But I want, that's what I want people to feel. Because, like, there's one of my favorite comics right now.
Uh-huh.
He's truly unbelievable. Is Ali Sadiq.
Okay. I don't know them.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Dude, I mean, first of all, as somebody who's a performer, you have to watch.
I will.
Today.
Yes.
He has a special called Domino Effect.
Uh-huh.
And there's, like, a part two, and he's releasing part three and four. But it's about him. He was like a drug dealer in Houston, and he's like, dude, he's like a real dude, but it's like he's the best storyteller alive.
Sure.
But everything that he does, he moves so deliberate, and so everything is poignant. Everything has a purpose. And he sits down while he's very like, he holds court.
Yeah.
And
it goes back to the storyteller that you love so 100%.
Much. 100%. Like, that's where I came from.
Yeah.
And when I came here, I learned how to be funny fast. And I learned
which
how
you
to.
Need.
100%.
You need.
People that move too slow, you're like, you have to know every breath. And in New York, every breath matters.
Uh-huh.
And so that's one thing that I learned being here is to, even if you're going to move slow, make the moving slow important. Like, make it matter.
Interesting. And that's so, really cool.
Yeah, dude. But it's like, it's kind of just bringing all the worlds together.
Yeah.
I think that's my, that's kind of my whole thing is I want to be somebody that's different, but like nobody, there aren't many comics that you can feel mm-hmm. that go by feel.
Well, that
like
was...
even writing stuff. Unless I had a terrible day or like I'm overcome with emotion, I don't write about it. Because if I feel indifferent about it, mm-hmm. how are you going to feel? Like any type of way about it.
100%. Yeah, so, I agree with that. It's like you need to, you'll find the funny.
Right.
You're not just writing to be clever.
Yeah, I mean, dude, there's a bit on my special that I tell people about. And I think I've only maybe told this one at a time on something. But there's a bit on my special. It was like the darkest day of my life.
Yeah.
Was in that special. And it's crazy because nobody will ever know it. But the bit, and this maybe this is encouraging your people to go watch the special.
It was tremendous.
Check it out.
Yeah, go check it out.
But there's a bit in there where I talk about eating Popeyes. Mm-hmm. And but that bit was like the darkest day. It's kind of when I changed this whole thing that I do.
Yeah.
So the bit is that you can feel the weight of the bag and know that they didn't give you a biscuit.
I think you said two biscuits.
Yeah.
It's a correct you on your own bit. But I believe the man well, dude, was
in reality, biscuits. The sad part was in reality it was two. Or it was one. It was only one in reality.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had that. That's how hard the weight thing was. But I had to make it more believable for everyday people. And so. But that day, I'm not to get too dark. Uh-huh. But when I was here, I got to a point where like I felt like I hit a wall in my career where I was like I couldn't break into the clubs.
Uh-huh.
They were making me do late night at certain places with comics that were just terrible, and the comics that were there were treating me like garbage.
Sucks.
And I mean, I remember one time I was doing late night and a guy that I'd never seen before. Like, dude, I was like, even though I was touring some with Nate, but like I was opening for like Nick Swartzen. Like I would do, dude, I was doing some stuff.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like the thing was like, just be humble and do what you got to do. And they put me at the end of late night. And then the guy that went before me, I'd never seen him before. I've never seen him since.
Wow.
He goes before me. There's like four people left. They've walked, there was like 25 people when it started. They've walked everybody.
Yeah.
And there's two or four people left. And he goes on and he does his thing. And he goes, all right, guys, good night. And they get up and they leave. And then I'm sitting in the back of the room like.
That's a tough day.
And he goes, oh, man, I totally forgot about you. And I'm like, I'm telling you, it was the lowest point in comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm at home in my apartment. And I don't even have like a kitchen table. I'm literally just sitting like I have a butcher's block, like kitchen cart, and I just pulled a chair in and I just sit. It's like the saddest kitchen setup of all time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, dude, I think maybe it's time to check out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like just being like that. And I'm not trying to be like, but
no,
we all have moments like
it's
that.
It's real. Yeah.
And the only thing in my life that made me feel better was Popeye's chicken. It was Popeye's chicken, dude. I'm telling you, like a five piece with mashed potatoes and a Coke. Oh my gosh, dude. So I go, all right, dude, we'll call this a day. I order it on Seamless and it comes and I'm like, this is the only thing that makes me feel better. And I always would get an extra biscuit. And he handed me the bag and on my darkest day, I just felt the bag and I was like, it's not in there. Not only is my extra biscuit not in there, my original biscuit that comes with the meal is not in there. And I get over to the butcher's block and I open the whole thing up and none of my biscuits are in there. And I go, what am I going to dip into this mashed potatoes and gravy now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I had this, like, I was like, dude, this is, and then I had this, like, this is like the, I don't know, it's like a pit bull in me comes out and goes, You see how you're feeling right now?
Yeah.
It was like you're a comic. So write the darkness. Like that's literally what my brain. And so this is, you feel this whole thing. Everybody feels this thing.
Yeah.
So write this thing. And so you can go to my special. And if you see the bit, the bit isn't dark at all.
Not at all.
The bit's very, I mean, just kind of cheery. It's so, yeah. But nobody would ever know that that bit came from the darkest place. And that's what I learned is, and it connects.
Yeah.
People really connect to it. Like, I love that thing.
Yeah.
And people will never know that it's like a, it's like this dark moment in my life.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what I learned is like to really connect. You have to find those really, those moments that are just like, that almost want to overtake you.
That affect you but deeply.
It's also beautiful when you do a set filled with those because it's a, every night it's a reminder of what tried to break you and didn't. And now you're like, no matter what is in front of you, it's always like, oh, I conquered that. I conquered this moment. Yeah. I survived this moment. Yeah. Like whatever it is. Like I'm here now because I beat that. And whatever's in front of me, I'll beat that too. Like that's like the vibe.
That's beautiful.
And so that's who I want to be as a comic. So anybody else that's like whenever you go through stuff like that, you're like, oh yeah, like I that's my boy right there. Because and then once they know the story, it's like now we did this.
Yeah.
That's what anybody that is a fan of mine, I want them to know like we did this. We beat this thing.
Yeah.
Because if you connect with me, that means you've been where I've been. And so now you're going where I'm going. Because we're here together. We've experienced this thing together and we both beat it.
Uh-huh.
And now we're going to keep going through the whole thing.
This is the preacher in you
this
right now.
This is the preacher.
We are going.
You
open,
it's not just your Bible to John chapter 4. Yeah.
I think you're beautiful. I think you're likable. Yeah, for sure. I think you're awesome. I think everyone should make sure everyone goes out and checks your special on YouTube.
I really
enjoyed watching it. I think that you're a really sweet person too.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. It means a lot. And likewise.
Thank you so much.
I think you need
next
to connect.
Time we'll talk and we'll get to know you more. But,
we try to have heart on the show. That's what I like about the show. That's why I'm like, we want to keep doing it. And people reach out to us all the time.
Oh, for sure.
And heart is what's important.
I think heart is really important.
Yeah. The comedy stuff goes on top.
100%. That could be service level.
Well, that's why, I mean, when my girl showed me y'all's stuff, I was like, oh, okay, this is like, I'm into this.
I love that. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I was super excited when she reached out to come on the pod.
She really is the best.
Yeah.
So when you come to Nashville, we'll have you, we'll come over to the house.
Yeah, I would love that.
And we'll have her cook. Cause she's unbelievable, dude.
That's what I need. Oh God, bring a little New York.
She makes. Oh, if you brought her, dude, I'm telling you, that crushed red pepper flakes, dude. I'm so excited.
Yeah, definitely.
But she makes these lasagna rolls that are out of this world.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, dude,
a lasagna roll is great. Better than the original.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, she's so good.
Half of this podcast was emotional. Half of it was us talking about food, going. Ugh. where can the people find you out there?
On Instagram, Justin Smith Comedy.
Beautiful.
Everything you need, if you go to Justin Smith Comedy on Instagram, my link tree's there.
Yeah.
It's got upcoming dates. It's got a link to my special.
Yeah.
I did a little small set for Nate Bargatze's YouTube channel.
Oh, awesome.
Like a little 8-10 minute thing.
I love that. I gotta check that out.
It's fun. It was all about. I try to keep like a theme,
uh-huh.
but it was all about my move to Nashville.
Oh,
so they're all the little fun things that I learned, just kind of moving there because I had like a crazy year, like when I moved there. So the whole set is about me moving to Nashville. Oh,
that's awesome. So, I can't wait to check it out,
dude. Thank you so much. This
of
was
of course.
This was
yeah,
incredible.
It was great having you
Robbie,
on.
What do you want to plug?
Just the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Loud About Nothing. Follow on YouTube. Follow us.
Yeah. If you want to go check out the Patreon, we love our Patreon subscribers out there. Keep comments on the YouTube. Share the clips. We really appreciate that. Thank you all. All right, Robbie, hit the music.